Hello, I'm Kate, and I'm going to read Gavin's Corner, which this month is all about flags. It has to be said that I like flags, all the flags of the UK, and indeed many others. I have even plastered the Union Jack all over the front of my house in celebration of key events, VE Day, Jubilees, etc. The key with flags, though, is that they should be flown at appropriate times, in appropriate places, and at events celebrating those moments where we all want to come together and celebrate. It is therefore sad to see our flags being misappropriated. We have seen a deluge of flags littering our street furniture in Oxfordshire, fluttering in the wind on lampposts, and bringing with it a message of divisiveness. The core principle of those erecting the flags is all about patriotism. If you don't support it, you're not patriotic. However, scratch the surface, and this is not about that at all. It is anti-migrant, and it can be construed as being racist. I follow Raise the Colours on Facebook, the organisation putting the flags up, and have even commented on their posts. The flaggers are on a mission and think what they do is universally popular. This is what the social media algorithms and bots tell them. Sitting at my desk and wading through the vast email mound concerning the flags, I know that this really isn't the case. Many people are frightened by what they represent and the underlying message they convey. To counteract this, I thought I would address the key issue they confront, that of immigration and the impact it has on UK society. The latest net migration figures stand at 204,000, down 78% in 2 years due to EU migration collapsing and previous government policies, meaning that care workers and students can no longer bring their dependents with them. So, who comes to the UK and why? 66% come to study, work and be with family. These are people filling key worker positions and attending university, thus reducing fees for domestic students. They are people we have invited here. 14% are asylum seekers. Only about half of them arrived irregularly via boats. The rest came legally on visas as students, visitors or workers and later claimed asylum. About 8% of arrivals come via safe and legal routes, Ukrainians, Hong Kongers and Afghans who supported UK military efforts. 49,000 have arrived irregularly. If they were deported tomorrow, it wouldn't make any difference to our 4 million children living in poverty, the 1.3 million people on housing registers or the 6 plus million people on NHS waiting lists. The Channel crossings, despite their relatively small number, undeniably feel chaotic and unplanned. We would all rather people didn't have to cross the Channel unsafely, be warehoused in hotels or contingency sites, often three strangers to a room, living for months or years, banned from working, and living in conditions that feel more like prison than protection. No Ukrainian or Hong Konger has died in the Channel. They could apply for humanitarian protection safely from where they were. No Ukrainian or BNO family has been warehoused in a hotel or barracks. They've been welcomed into communities, housed with hosts and supported. The question isn't whether safe, managed routes work. This is proven. The question is whether we have the political will to extend that same humanity to everyone fleeing persecution or war, not only to those who happen to be the right colour or faith. Of the 9+ million Ukrainians displaced, only about 223,000 have arrived in the UK. Similarly, the BNO route for people from Hong Kong, only 163,000 people have moved here, although 5.4 million are eligible. When safe and legal pathways exist, people choose to go where they have family or community ties. Under international law, including the 1951 Refugee Convention, shaped by the UK after World War II, anyone fleeing persecution, war or serious harm has the right to claim asylum and can travel via irregular routes to do so. People don't need prior permission or a visa to make that claim, and their case must be assessed fairly. This is the law. We made a commitment to protect humanity from the suffering caused by war and persecution. This applies to everyone. as do further laws such as the Care Act, the Children Act and the Equalities Act. These apply to us and anyone who comes to our shores. Could you imagine a government that wants to arrest you, or worse, for your political beliefs, punish you for who you love, or conscript you to fight a war? People escaping often flee with nothing but the clothes on their backs. They are desperate. Around 70% of people claiming asylum are granted protection. Most believe that migrants should be supported to integrate quickly, learning how things work, be supported to find jobs and to become true members of our communities. Oxfordshire is a county council of sanctuary, meaning that we support the integration of people seeking sanctuary. And this includes 3,500 from Hong Kong, 2,700 people from Ukraine and 1,000 plus people from Afghanistan, and another 700 awaiting decisions on their claims. The ONS does not publish crime data by asylum status. However, there is no evidence that asylum seekers are more likely to commit sexual offences than UK-born citizens. In fact, non-UK citizens are underrepresented in serious crime statistics. About 12.5% of prisoners are foreign-born compared to 15% of the population. Migrants are no more likely to commit crimes than anyone else, and in some categories, less so. The Good Law Project has exposed how some political groups manipulate incomplete or misleading data to push an anti-migrant agenda. Over 100 women's rights organisations have written to the Prime Minister condemning how violence against women and girls is being weaponised to promote hostility towards refugees and migrants, warning that this narrative harms both survivors and communities. Violence against women needs to be confronted. We need to ensure victims have real access to justice, safety and support. We do have a problem with sexual violence in this country, and it's a serious one, but it's overwhelmingly homegrown. We don't make women safer by scapegoating. We make them safer by educating men and boys and fixing the systems that let offenders of any background get away with it. I hope that this has at least provided food for thought. Please do reach out if you have any questions. Gavin McLaughlin.